We are today a week away from Christmas. Only 1 week, 7 days. Yeah, good sound. Now, for some of you, this is not an issue. In fact, this is very exciting because, quite frankly, you have been Christmas ready since mid-November. And now you are doing the thing where you are counting down the number of sleeps until Christmas. But for the rest of us, this is just panicking us. I'm sorry, but it is panicking us. Because we're going, oh my goodness, I've got so much work to do before I hit Christmas. Or I've got to buy that person a present. Or maybe you're sat here and actually you haven't even started Christmas present shopping yet. Yeah, because the Christmas present thing can be kind of stressful, right? A gift says something about a person. So as the gift giver, we want to say, hey, I know you, I get you, I get what you're about. And so we get kind of excited when we think we found the gift. We've had the idea. And maybe you've given a present to an older relative once, and you are sure that this is going to revolutionize how they do things. You sit there as they unwrap it, and they pull off the wrapping paper really slowly, and you're like, come on, and they open it and they look at it and they go, oh, how nice. And you know in that instant that they haven't got a clue what that is, let alone how to use it. Now, I discovered this gem of a video a couple of years back, which we're going to watch this evening, and shows us just that. It's that kind of idea of this gift is really not got by the person. Now, it's in German. I thought it would be inclusive tonight. It's in German. And it has got subtitles. And I'm hoping the subtitles are correct. But if it's super rude, any German speakers, I'm so sorry. If you want to find out if it's rude, go and find out a friendly German speaker afterwards and ask them. So let's hit the video. Right. When we don't get the gift, we can't fully appreciate just how great it is. Now, the same is true with the Christmas story. When we don't really get the Christmas story, we can't fully appreciate how great it is. Now, you might be sat here today and you have heard the Christmas story year after year after year, and you've heard the same bit of Bible at the same carol service. And quite frankly, if you're honest, it just kind of blurs into one now. And you're thinking, come on, reader, get through it. I want my mulled wine. I want to feel Christmassy. Or maybe you're sat here and you're kind of new to the whole church thing. Maybe you came last week and you're back again this week. If say hi, welcome. But you too know the Christmas story. Whether or not you've seen much of the Bible bits, you know the Christmas story because you've seen TV and that card that your great aunt sends you with the shiny baby Jesus and the nativity that your aunt's in. We know the Christmas story. And so we just assume we know what it's all about, right? It's just part of the December air that we breathe. But the problem is assuming we know what it's about is that sometimes we miss the detail. Sometimes we miss the detail of just how great it is. Kind of like the guy having what he assumed was a chopping board. In the detail, he missed how great an iPad is. And we can so easily do that with a Christmas story as well. Now, over the last few weeks at Metro, we have been trying to get back into some of the detail of the Christmas story. And if you're just joining us today, this is part 3 of a Magi trilogy. So I'd absolutely recommend you listening to Philip's first 2 talks online. They're really brilliant, and they help us look at some of that detail that's in Christmas. Help us look, okay, how is this real and relevant for us? And just a quick summary, if you haven't been around with us, we've been looking at this word magi, which is what the Bible calls what we probably know as the wise men. And we were looking at that song, the We Three Kings of Orient Are song, and actually how wrong that is, how really inaccurate that is. And we've been looking at how there probably weren't 3 of them. There's 3 gifts. There could have been a lot more than that. How they weren't actually kings. These were what the Bible calls magi, so which translates a lot better as magician or sorcerer. And they weren't from the Orient. They were from the east of where Jesus lived, which was more likely to be Iraq or Iran. Now, I can kind of see why the person writing the lyrics didn't go multiple magicians from Iraq and Iran. It doesn't flow quite so nicely, but even so, not accurate. So the next line of that song is, bearing gifts we travel afar. And actually we looked at how last week, this is true, that these magi came on a long journey. They came on a journey to know Jesus personally, a lot like the spiritual journey that we're all on. And Philip was showing us how actually the journey's worth it because Jesus is worth it. And today we're going to dive into the gifts part, which again is true. We all know about the gold, frankincense and myrrh. But actually, why is that there? And what on earth has that got to do with where we're at right now? So we're going to dive back into the passage that we were looking at last week, but I don't have fancy dramatic music this week. If you personally feel like you need the dramatic music, hum it in your head, but let's hit the passage. So, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who's been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts. Now, as I said, the whole gift-giving thing can get a little intense this time of year. And I kind of wonder if the magi face the same problem that we do. Like, I sort of wonder if they had a bit of a gift panic, that they thought, you know what, we're going to go and see these people, and they've got a baby, and it's kind of a big deal, and we probably should get him something, right? And I love the thought of these guys just like wandering around their version of mother care, going, boots? No. Hats? No. I don't even know what that is, and I'm not going to ask? No. Like, and they went, hold on, guys, I've got it. I know exactly what we'll give him. And they presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But the more we think about this, the more just entirely inappropriate this is for a baby. Like, what were they thinking? Did they panic buy? Did they just not understand what you get a baby? Like, what were they thinking? This is such a monumental error, and to be written down and then reenacted by small children every Christmas. Like, what on earth is going on? And I wonder if Mary was there that first Christmas going, oh, come on, guys, gift receipt, please. What's he going to do with that? Like, seriously, what were they thinking? They can't have known Jesus at all. They clearly knew nothing about him. But yet, it's actually the opposite. The more we look at the gifts, the more we realize that they knew exactly who Jesus was. And each gift reflects a little bit more about who he is. Now, I've grown up in church, so I've probably heard about 26 versions of this passage. But it's only very recently that I realized what each gift actually symbolized. And when I realized that, it was such an eye-opener for me. It was such a, oh gosh, there's way more to it than I thought. It was such a chopping board into iPad moment for me that actually there was incredible goodness in the detail. So let's have a look at some of that detail together. First of all, let's explore gold. Now, if you are still sat here and you haven't got a clue what to give someone for Christmas, can I suggest that something gold is probably quite a good choice? Like, I would happily accept gold. Please do that. That would be lovely. Why is gold a good gift? Going to need your help here. What springs to mind when I say gold?
Precious.
Precious, yeah.
Always believe in your soul.
Always believe in your soul. Enduring, yeah. Long-lasting, precious metal, yeah.
Shiny.
So we know, right, that gold is a good gift because it's something that's precious, it's something of great worth and value. And because of that, gold has always been associated with royalty. So whilst it's a completely inappropriate gift to give a baby, it is an appropriate gift to give a king. Now, we know that the wise men, magi, were on a journey to see the king. So, you know, gold, pretty decent choice. Like, we can see that so far, largely appropriate. They were saying, here's some gold, you are king. The problem with this is that it's kind of a dangerous thing to be saying. As we looked at with Philip last week, Jesus is not the only king on the block. In fact, there's this guy called Herod, who history tells us was way up there in terms of evil leader scale. Like, awful, awful guy. Really tyrannical, really despotic. He spread a rule and reign of incredible fear and terror. He did things like killing all his nobles, killing his much-loved wife and children. Anything that was competition to him, he would just eradicate. And then we've got this new king, this Jesus, who's born in the backdrop of all of that evil going on, all of that fear, all of that terror. And born as a new king, along comes a new kingdom. Now, this is the kingdom that has been long promised. This is God's kingdom, a kingdom that's going to be everlasting. And Jesus grows up and he starts talking about what this kingdom looks like. And this kingdom is so in contrast from the one that Herod's got going on. This kingdom is one of love and kindness and wholeness and restoration and so many of the really great things we've been singing about, this king bringing in this new kingdom. And so the Magi gift of gold tells us that Jesus is king. It tells us who Jesus is. So that's gold. And you might be sat there going, yeah, well, we probably could have guessed that, Chloe. Gold equals king, fair enough. Right, wise people. Turn to your friend next to you, neighbour, whoever they are, and tell them what you think frankincense is. Go. Okay. Did anyone come up with like some kind of incense thing? Did you stop talking about incense? Yeah, there's a few people, yeah. So chances are that you might have come into contact with frankincense. You might know what incense is. You might know the stick form. Or you might have been to like a really traditional church where they swing it in the aisles. I think we should do that in Metro. It'd be quite good fun. Woo! Like that. Frankincense is a sweet resin, and it was part of the priest's role to burn this in the tabernacle. Now, the tabernacle was the place where God was worshipped, and the priest would burn this frankincense, and it would create a sweet smell that would rise up to the sky. Now, this was symbolic of the people's prayers rising up to God. We kind of need to get that very simply, the priest's role was to bridge the gap between the people and God. Now, God was so holy that the people couldn't just like walk in and go, "Hi, God, like it's me. These are my prayers." He had to go through the priest. So the priest was there and he bridged the gap between the people and God. So why then was this given to Jesus? Well, the Bible calls Jesus the great high priest. And Jesus, once and for all on the cross, bridged the gap between a messy, broken humanity and a good and perfect God. He took the hand of people, he took the hand of God, and he linked them forever. Jesus is our great high priest. So the Magi gift of frankincense tells us what Jesus came to do. Jesus came to connect us to God. Once and for all on the cross. And that leads us nicely into myrrh, because myrrh tells us how Jesus connected us to God. So again, hands up, has anyone heard of myrrh outside of this context of the Nativity? Anyone? No. I discovered this week that I can't even spell it. Like, all the combinations I could have had, I didn't once get it right. It's so bad. But myrrh, you're quite right, we've not heard of it. This is strictly Nativity vocab now, so we don't really understand it. So let's paint a little bit of a picture before we launch into what it is. Imagine that you are invited to a christening. It's a friend's child's christening, and everyone's gathered around the baby who's wearing the white frilly dress, and they're all presenting their gifts. And they're going for the kind of usual things. They're going for the clothes or the My First Storybook. And someone's gone all out as if to be like, yep, top person. And they've crocheted the baby something. And someone else goes, well, that's nothing. I've cross-stitched their name on a bear. Look at it. It's really sweet. And you're there and you've been lugging this thing around all day. And you pull it up and you lift a cloth off. And you've got a marble headstone with the baby's name, date of birth, and space to write the date of death. And before the shocked and horrified family can say anything, you shrug and you go, you know, for when he dies. Can you imagine how inappropriate that would be? And yet this is what the Magi were doing. Now, myrrh, this is a sweet resin again, and people bought it because of it was used for embalming. It was used because of its preservative property. So if someone you loved had died, you'd buy the oil, you'd cover them in it, and that was it. So there's no two ways about this. It is an embalming oil for dead bodies and was a symbol of death. So there we go. We've got this Magi at the birth of this brand new baby. Say, hi, lovely new baby. Here is the symbol of death. I'm guessing no godfather status for him. My money is definitely on the guy with the gold. I think that would be top choice. Myrrh isn't such a happy gift. Myrrh symbolizes Jesus' affliction, suffering, and points to his death on the cross. And Jesus knew suffering right from the get-go. His life was punctuated by real sadness, by some real hardship that went on. And the end of his life was characterized by extreme brutality. His death on the cross. And that's what myrrh points to, his death on the cross. And it speaks of how much God wanted to connect us with him. This baby was born to bear the weight of our shame and disconnection and mess. This baby was born to be the answer, to be the saving, to save us, to bring us back to God. But yet the cost was immense. So the gift of myrrh tells us how Jesus connected us with God. So there we go. In the three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, we've got who Jesus is, what he came to do, and how he did it. And, you know, it's quite nice sometimes to have a bit of theoretical knowledge. It might make us feel like nativity scholars, or maybe if it's a very niche pub quiz, we might win something. Or if you're really, really bored around the dinner table with your elderly relatives, might be a good go-to. I know what the gifts mean. But actually, it's a lot better than that. It's so much better than that. It's got incredible application for where we are right now. Because when we get the gifts, we get how good the gift of Jesus is. In the detail, there's incredibly good stuff for us. It stops being an, oh, how nice sort of story. It stops being this folkloric tale from over 2,000 years ago. And it starts being something that's real and relevant for where we are at right now, in 2016 and as we go into 2017. Here at Metro, it's our last Sunday together in 2016. Can I get a boo? Yeah, that's great. Last Sunday together in 2016. Now, I don't really know how your 2016s have gone. I can imagine it's been like most years. There have been some really good bits, and there have been some tough bits too. Certainly right now, the internet is awash with all the memes and all the BuzzFeed articles about how this has been the worst year and that we need to watch some rabbit eating a carrot to make us feel better. That's the kind of year we've had. But I think for some of you, even going into Christmas and New Year, it's kind of hard for you. You've got some stuff going on right now, and you're going, you know what? I just don't know how I'm going to cope with this. Don't know how I'm going to carry on in the new year with what's going on with me right now. And I think for all of us, even if we're excited about the new year and Christmas, a new year, it presents us with stuff that's really unknown and uncertain, and perhaps there's some really uncertain stuff with you right now to do with your work or your relationships, or your finances, or your studies, or just generally what you're doing with your life. Things are really uncertain in 2017 for you. But regardless of how you're feeling about how 2016's gone, and how you're feeling about 2017, there's something in one of those gifts that's for you. There's something today that God just wants to whisper into you and says, hey, this one's for you. I want you to know this. This gift is yours to unwrap. Maybe for you today, it's the gift of gold for you that's to unwrap. And that as you unwrap the gift of gold, you need to know Jesus as King. Maybe, you know what, 2016, you're reflecting back and you go, stuff in my life, stuff in maybe the lives of people around me, stuff on like more of a broader global and national scale, it's just not how it's meant to be. Like, we're just getting ourselves in such a mess. Things are not how they're meant to be. And there's kind of a sadness in you about how things are going. Maybe that's your 2016. But for you, know that the Magi gift of gold is there for you this Christmas. It's there to remind you that against the backdrop of all of that, Jesus is King. Now, this King wasn't born in to be some kind of irrelevant King for a quieter time. No. This is God hope flourishing in any circumstance. This is a King born in and for a broken and hurting world. A world where we see things like Aleppo going on. A world where we've got homelessness. A world where we've got so many things that just aren't right. This is a King born for now. And this King came in with this new kingdom, and this kingdom still stands today. So if you know Jesus, first and foremost, our citizenship is that we are citizens of the kingdom of God. And that's the kind of leadership we want to be under. Like, we might be feeling like, oh, I've been seeing so much bad leadership in 2016. Things aren't as they should be. But take heart, because Jesus is our leader. Jesus is our King. And his kingdom, that's the one we want to be in. That's the one we want to bring in more of. So invite Jesus to be King of those situations. Invite more of his rule and reign to come into those situations where you're going, I just feel a bit hopeless. Or I just don't know what's next. Invite Jesus to be King. But maybe for you, you need to unwrap the gift of frankincense. You need to know that Jesus connects. perhaps if you're honest, you felt a bit of disconnect with God this year. That for whatever reason, you're going, I just don't feel as close to God as I'd like. Whether that's because there's been obstacles that have kind of come in your way, whether that's you feel like you've just walked away a bit. Maybe you feel like actually you can come to God, but you have to hold back part of who you are. You can't fully come. Or maybe you just don't feel like you've ever had that relationship in the first place. Know what Jesus came to do. Know that Jesus came to connect you with God. Know that that invitation still stands for you today, that Jesus has got God's hand and he's holding out his other hand and he's saying, hey, don't stand at a distance. Don't stay away. Come and know what great relationship looks like with your Father God who loves you. Come. So this Christmas, take the opportunity to reconnect with him, to know Jesus as great connector, Jesus as great high priest. Perhaps neither of those two are for you, but you today go, you know what, I think I really need to unwrap the gift of myrrh. And you need to know that Jesus suffered. Your 2016, yeah, you've known some real struggle this year. There's been some really hard stuff that's gone on, and maybe it's still going on for you. You need to know that Jesus identifies with you. He knows what it is to walk around and suffer and struggle and see pain and hurt. Know that he doesn't just leave you to get on with it, but he puts his arm around you and he does it with you. But also know that myrrh, yeah, it's a sad gift, but it wasn't the end of the story. That actually, we serve a living king. A living king that death couldn't hold, a living king that beat death, and the kingdom that he established, it's not one where he wants suffering and affliction and pain. Know that ultimately his kingdom wins. And so where you're at with your pain, let him come beside you and ask him to bring more of his hope, his restoration in those situations that just seem really hopeless and bleak for you right now. Know that Jesus suffers with us. But perhaps actually you need to unwrap the gift of myrrh, but you need to know that Jesus suffered for you. That, yeah, you're looking at the stuff in the world, but you're going, you know what? It's me that's a bit messed up. It's me that's got stuff going on that just feels all wrong. Know that Jesus was God's ultimate gift to us, that Jesus gave it all to connect us with God, and that God so wants relationship with you. Know that the gift of myrrh speaks of Jesus' death on the cross. It speaks of how Jesus came to rescue you, to give you the opportunity to have a fresh start, and that gift is yours for the taking. Know that Jesus came to release you into the life that God has always intended for you. Maybe that's the one you need to unwrap this Christmas. So what about you? Which one do you think you need to unwrap, given your work situation, your family situation, the stuff that's just going on in your life? Which one's for you? The Magi got how great the gift of Jesus was, and their response was to worship. I'd really love that to be our response, no matter where we are on our journey, that we can also go, oh gosh, Jesus is great, let's worship. And in a moment, we're going to do just that. We're going to invite the band back up again, and we're going to worship Jesus as our king. We're going to worship Jesus as our great high priest, our connector. And we're going to worship Jesus as the one who gave it all for us. But before we do that, I think it'd be really great to recap using the big idea, and then I'm going to pray for us. So the big idea today is the Magi gifts remind us that Jesus is king of a new kingdom. A priest who connects us with God and one who suffers with us and for us. I'd really love for us to pray. And I kind of want to do it maybe a little bit differently to how we do it at Metro. I'd really like all of us to respond to what God's whispering into you right now. The one that you're going, yeah, I think that's me. That's God nudging you. That's God poking you, saying, yeah, this one's for you. Go for it. This is what I want to give you this Christmas. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask us to just respond to what I'm going to pray about. So just pop your hand up. Everyone will have their eyes shut. It's fine. Don't worry. And then the bands are going to come up and we're going to do some worship through song. Okay, let's pray. Okay, pop your hand up if you think that you need to know that Jesus is king right now. Lovely. Father God, I thank you so much for your gift of Jesus. I thank you that Jesus is king. I pray for all of these people with their hand up that want to know more of Jesus' rule and reign in their situations. Although I pray that as they lift up to you right now those situations that seem really hopeless, that seem really not right, that they would know you there with them going, yeah, I agree, it's not right. Let them know that you are sovereign over all, that you are king over everything, that you are mighty. I pray that 2017, they'd really know you above all of that. Pop your hand up if you really need to know Jesus as connector. Father, I thank you so much for all these people that go, hey, yeah, I need more of you in my life. I pray that they would know that they can come to you, they can come straight to you, and that you love relationship with them. I pray that this Christmas is one where they really feel like they're reconnecting with you, and that right now, that you would get alongside them, you'd know that once they've grabbed your hand, brilliant. The invitation's for them right now, that they would feel your closeness. And 2017 would really mark for them a walk that's really tight with you, really close with you. And pop your hand up if you really need to know that Jesus suffered for you and that Jesus suffers with you. Yeah, Father, for those who are going through some real hard stuff right now, stuff that only you know what's going on, I pray that they would know you drawing alongside them. I pray that they would know your incredible hope. They would know your victory above some of those situations that are going on right now. I pray for those who today need to know that you suffered for them, that they are so valued and so worth it that you gave up everything for them. Help them to know that they can have that relationship with you through what you did. Amen.